Last time I saw this many academics, it was the 1967 University of Chicago sit-in. Sorry. You weren't there, Ed. You were still too young. Now I got to figure out how to use a PC again. Basically, we added, don't worry, there's only three or four pages with numbers that I'm not going to read because you can read for yourself, but it shows some of the challenges we're up against. We grow and sell 1 million pounds of avocados, import 4 million pounds, and depending on whose numbers you care to believe, we waste between 3 and 7 million pounds. So there's a certain inequity there that we've been trying to overcome for some time. So we have two challenges. One is import substitution, and the other is developing new crops, or I shouldn't put it that way, taking different species and trying to develop markets for those, which has been pretty successful. And this is all online. So we can't really export a lot of stuff, and so this is somewhat misleading. But we can, there are some things like sweet potatoes, and they have figs and avocados, but we can't export figs and avocados. So I'm not sure why the USDA put it on this list, and Kathy's not here to explain that. So I'm just going to jump to some of the others. There are certain quarantine things. We could export mangoes and avocados following different APHIS-approved treatments, but that renders the fruit pretty much inedible, so we don't really bother with that either. What really works is introducing the new crops. And so we more than doubled the amount of weight and fruit and almost doubled the amount of money made from some of these other fruit. The dragon fruit and jackfruit, which is grown worldwide in terms of popularity, contributed to some of this. And these things were unseen in stores as little as 3 years ago. And now a lot of the markets you can walk into and buy jackfruit, even on the mainland, although theirs is from Mexico. Hey, John, can I pick on you since you came in late?
Sure.
Okay.
That's why I came in.
Yeah. Starved for attention. We can. I know. Anyway, enough with the numbers. So what I want to do is talk to you about the different fruit that we're working on, or different things that I would work on if I was 40 years younger and had a whole lot of hippie friends to help me in an orchard someplace. And alupag is one of them. A lot of taxonomists argue what this is, if it's more lychee or longan. All I know is it tastes better, to me anyway, than lychee, longan, rambutan, or pulisan. The problem is the seed-to-meat ratio. So what I'd like to do, get from Robert Paul back there 100 acres and plant, 1,000 alupag trees and wait and see what happens. Okay, thanks. We just put it in the middle of the UH quad there. So that's one. Unfortunately, these are in June, so we couldn't get any for you to try. Next time, Tracy, we'll work on it. Okay. Biwa or loquat is something that you can buy 12 fruit in Tokyo for $50. And these are 100-gram fruit. And I know that's something we looked at a lot. Loquat here wasn't, it's on the invasive list, so it wasn't well thought of. And then we brought some new varieties in from Japan about 20 years ago, taught some of the growers how to prune them in the Japanese system, and now you can see in the middle left is my hand holding 280-gram fruit. And so this is a developing market, and the hotels will easily pay, $6-7 a pound for even smaller loquat, as long as they're ripe and without damage. There's also, from Kona Coffee, we have, 4 or 5 products made, value-added products made from Kona Coffee, when they have 3,000 items made from loquat at a store about a four-hour drive outside of Tokyo called the Tomiura Biwa Club. So we do a lot within Hawaii Tropical Fruit Growers Group, which has 750 members. We do a lot with value-added products and teaching, brought the Master Food Preserver Program to Hawaii. So this is increasing, too, and it's helping with farm sustainability. Bilimbi and Buddha's Hand. I used to have hair before I got into bilimbi. So it's very sour relative of starfruit, it is what dashi is to Japan, this is to the Philippines. It's the souring agent in most of Philippine cuisine, where it's called kamias or pias, depending on the dialect. It's about 86% juice. And we've got chefs now who are making vinaigrette salad dressings from it. We've got the hot and sour soups in some of the Chinese restaurants around the state. So all of a sudden, these backyard trees and old Philippine homesteads, the fruit is finally being utilized. In India, in South India, you can go into a grocery store and buy a bottle of bilimbi juice. Of course, it's about 70% sugar, but it's still pretty good. Buddha's hand or bushukan was primarily used as a fragrance to put on home altars in Asian countries. Old timers in Hawaii used to cut the fingers and boil them and coat them in powdered sugar and freeze it for candy. And we grow them and sell the zest to some of the Japanese restaurants as it mimics yuzu in some way, shape, or form. But not bad. Ceylon gooseberry. This was one of the most popular fruits in Hawaii in the 30s. And it sort of died out during wartime. It was made into a jelly. It also requires about 60% sugar to be palatable. But when you add that sugar to it, it tastes like boysenberry. And it's really a great syrup or juice or jelly. And it's very prolific, does very well in Hawaii. So this is something that just now beginning to make a comeback. We found a tree on an abandoned railroad bed about 10 years ago and started from there. This one, there's only about four trees in Hawaii. Koa is probably the best tasting syrup I ever had. It's relative of mangosteen from South India originally, where it's used in Ayurvedic medicine, but it's not as common as some of the other mangosteens, kokum in particular, which we'll get to in a minute. I was with Associated Press. I was a newspaper cameraman for 33 years while I was studying horticulture and culinary in Japan, and my wife's friend came over, and I said, "Margaret, you ever smell a durian?" And I whipped out the camera and took that picture. We're in the middle of a Western Sayre grant now to determine variety trials for durian, see what is enjoyed here. And the advantage of durian to Hawaiian growers is there's no pest risk assessment required, so we can just take them on the plane back to the mainland. Not that you'd want to sit next to us with a bunch of ripe durian, so we'll sneak them in Stover's suitcase. But there's a ready market in Thai Town in L.A. They'll buy a container, an airline container a week. It's what they'd like to get. Just in Thai Town in L.A. There's a series of two or three shops that are the same owner next to Hollywood. And that's not to me. They sell here at the farmer's market. We used to sell them $25, $30 per fruit because I don't bother with a scale and I'm more interested in what happens afterwards. And then I'll give you 50 for that. So pretty soon we had an auction. And I still work as a chef sometimes at the Four Seasons, and we have an exotic fruit station just so I can gauge reaction. I had Tom Kite at a PGA tournament fighting with somebody over the last piece of durian. It's surprisingly popular to people who can tolerate the odor, if it bothers you. Egg fruit or canistel, I mean, people are buying this powdered fruit in powdered form in health food stores, I guess for the vitamin A. But do you remember that white school paste? That's kind of what it tastes like. You know, when we were kids, you'd put it on your hand and kind of lick it off. And anyway, that's what this reminds me of. But it's really good in smoothies and mixed with something else. Very, very sweet. Finger limes. This is we owe a lot to Australia, not just to Bob Paul, but we owe a lot to Australia for Charwell avocado, black gold jackfruit, macadamia nuts, and now finger limes. And there's a lot of other bush tucker fruit or outback fruit that we're working with. David, this is your at Riverside repository. And a lot of our, you snuck that on the plane, huh?
No.
Oh, from Michael, yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'm the third largest finger lime grower, and Michael's the largest, and the guy on Lanai, of all places, is the second largest. And my trees came from this.
Yeah,
amazingly. And they
grow outside.
Yeah. Yeah, all of my little marks are from harvesting finger limes. They fruit year-round here, too, which has a certain advantage for chefs. And the chefs, $26 a pound is what we get wholesale for them. And so that's about $6,000 laying on the ground in Riverside there. You're going to go back and harvest, right? Anyway, so if you haven't tried these, if you didn't try them yesterday, try to get them someplace. It's amazing. If you're into sushi or Japanese food, they have the tobiko, the little orange-colored eggs that kind of pop. This is the same kind of texture, only it's a lime and a citrus, and really quite good. Just talking about you, too, and you duck out. All this bush tucker fruit that... Hey, I should go back for one second. We have this problem because and I'm sorry if there's USDA people in here, other present company excluded, of course. But, you know, you can't change the rules in the middle of the game. And they've changed the rules now, and it's become increasingly difficult for us. We can't bring in any plant material from overseas unless it goes into a greenhouse for 2 years, with a few exceptions of things that don't require quarantine, like black pepper and Beccaria species. So my permits have become useless because I can no longer bring in jackfruit scion. It has to be grafted and kept in a greenhouse for 2 years. And nobody can afford a greenhouse with impervious floors and roofs and water catchment and treatment systems. It's just impossible unless you're the government. In Japan, if you want a greenhouse, the government pays 50%, the national government, the prefectural government pays 20%, and you just have to come up with 30%. Well, 30% of $50,000 is what it costs here for a 20 by 30 greenhouse is a little more palatable to growers or to commodity groups. So anyway, I just had to get that over with. Huh? Okay. Unlimited access, that's all. You can't go in on Sundays, Robert. You can't do this. I got to go in when I can go in. Green sapote. There are two types of fruit which I plan to focus on shortly. That I think have exceptional economic potential for younger growers when we can find them in Hawaii. Yeah, I guess I was looking at you guys. green sapote has a exceptional shelf life. And it's easy to know when to pick. And we have a lot of new farmers, a plethora of new farmers here who pick avocados that are like this because, these are bigger than Haas, so we should... You could probably pick them. Well, the reality is they're Murashiges and should be on the tree another 2 months. But they don't know that. So when you go to the market, you have to know what you're buying. So green sapote turns tan like that. And when it gets a little softened, it tastes like pumpkin pudding. It gets a little darker like the one on the right. It tastes like chocolate pumpkin pudding. And I just figured out a system for propagating it now easily. And I think if you put in 5 acres of this, you'd have quite a market in the next 10 years. Great potential. The other one, which is not on here, is called Abiurana, which is a relative, another Poteria, which is a relative of Abiu, only that tastes like caramel custard pudding. Little orange fuzzy fruit. Gumichama, too, if we had a greenhouse for growing, like most of the fruit in Asia, you'd grow this, which is a kind of tastes like a cross between Jabotecaba, or Brazil grape, and black cherry. Something the chefs love, but we can't, we have to fight the birds for it. It's exceptional taste. There's 140, I think, Robert, some species of edible eugenias. We've got 5 or 6 here that are commercial, including your black Suriname cherry, which I don't remember if it's in here or not, John. Persimmons. So part of what we have to do as a commodity group is to educate farmers on value added isn't just in terms of making jams or jelly. Value added starts in the field. I get $6.50 a pound for lychee where most people will get $4 a pound because ours are grown in a bag. They can stay on the tree longer. The Brix is 5 to 7% higher than most of the lychee. They have, there's no bird marks, no fruit fly stings. So it's just, that's adding value to that particular crop. In terms of persimmons, we can only grow hachia here except for a very few places up way up the mountains that can grow a fuyu type. But, you know, we sell persimmons at a farmer's market or in the store. They average around 50 cents a piece. So you put in a piece of string and an instruction how to dry persimmons like they do with Asia, all of a sudden 5 of them are now $4.99. You know, or some stores will mark them on sale for $3.99. But we've almost doubled the value of just the persimmons by adding a 2-cent piece of paper and 3-cent string. So that's adding value. And I view my job, which people often ask, is my job is to help farmers make money and become more sustainable. And these are different ways to do it. Ice cream bananas. We have, I think in 92 there were 100 types of bananas, and then when I did a banana poster in 2005 and spent 2 years and I could only find 50-some types of bananas, this being one of them. And if you've never tried an ice cream banana, try to find that at one of the farmers markets around. When it goes from blue to yellow, it's very soft, extremely sweet, and you can spread it with a knife. Ice cream bean, this is one, you know, well, all of the different Ingas really. The Canadians seem to love this. They're trying to buy a container. They wanted to buy a DC-10 container a week. I can't get 10 of them for the restaurant here to use, but they want a container a week. There's great potential for crops and people who want to work the crops. But it should be called cotton candy bean. The lower right is a picture of brownies at the Orchid Fairmont, and they just put the aerial from the beans there, and it tastes like a piece of cotton candy. Jabotecaba is an incredibly good tasting fruit, sometimes called Brazil grape tree. It's like Kyoho grapes in Japan. It's just a unique taste. A lot of our fruit we can't describe in conventional terms. We tried to, a number of chefs and I tried to develop a flavor wheel like they have for wine. Can't do it. just can't do it. I mean, so I can tell you it kind of tastes like a cross between Concord and Kyoho grape from Japan, but it's different. And until you try it, there's really no way. And they do make wine from it, but it's usually only 10 to 30% made with Jabote Kava, so you really can't taste the fruit. And you really don't want that wine. Kokum is another one. We've got a lot of trees going here. It's pretty close to mangosteen and a little more sour. I kind of prefer it to mangosteen because it has a little tartness to it. It's the basis for a lot of Ayurvedic medicine in South India where it's endemic. And it's growing in popularity there. We've got trees that should fruit now in the next 2-3 years in Hawaii. And it's a developing market. Where mangosteens are selling here for about $3 a piece. What did you pay? $5? That's so if you got one of her mangosteens yesterday, that was $5. You want to put a collection plate in the back? No. Just checking. But this is Kokum or Garcinia indica is just, it's got great potential. You ever have this, David? This one? No. Okay. Soon. Lulo or not in, I can't trill my R's anymore. Not in here. Is a great fruit. One of our growers here was in the Peace Corps in the 60s, and his job was to develop the Lulo Cooperative in Colombia. So he's done a lot of work in the last 5 years spreading seeds around, giving out Lulo fruit and juice at farmers market every Saturday. I can go in. The advertisement is from Tropical Maria in Japan, where you can go in on the train station platform and put in 110 yen and get a can of Lulo juice or acerola juice. So they're using, actually, FoodX is the world's largest food show in March in Tokyo. And they, every other year or so, I talk to the Colombian Minister of Agriculture, who thanked me profusely because the U.S. sends all this money there to fight drugs, and they use it to market their fruit in Japan so that the farmers will plant more fruit trees. So I said, you're welcome. Send me some juice. There's another bush tucker fruit that we're having some problems with, but they do taste like blueberries, white blueberries. Kim, you'll have to work on this one because it's flowers all the time. It's a, you know, beautiful, it can be a beautiful flowering hedge, although it develops into a tree. The reason that photo was stolen and the top one is the one fruit I had in the last 3 years on mine. We cannot figure what triggers it. And we've tried this in California, Florida, and a couple other places. In hopes of figuring out what pollinates it or what causes it to set fruit. But it's definitely something that you should work on, Robert. Lanka or jackfruit. Technically, we have the Guinness Book of Records for the world's largest jackfruit at it was 40 kilo. And the one in the top center there was actually 140 pounds, 65 kilo, and I wrote them a letter. It's my partner in India, Sri Padre, measuring it, and C.D. Sunish, who was handling the scale there. They didn't want to take the Guinness Book records for me. They were going to wait until it was 200 pounds so I could never catch them. The Sri Padre is kind of like the Michael Pollan of India, working on a lot of different projects there, and for the last couple of years to increase the use of jackfruit in India, where they have orchards of 20,000 trees, and people are still hungry and they can't figure out why. Now, if you go into local grocery stores, almost anywhere in the States, you can buy little boxes, as a vegan substitute for meat. You can buy Tex-Mex jackfruit or jackfruit curry, barbecue jackfruit, which you can get in a lot of health food restaurants. That's due to him introducing Annie Liu, who started this company out of Boston to market jackfruit and make Tetra Pak jackfruit entrees. It's really, if you've never tried it, it's where Juicy Fruit gum got its flavor. In the early 50s, you could see on the side of the package that it was made from Juicy Fruit, just like Chiclids was made from Chico Zapote, and the gums came from the latex of the fruit, or the flavor, but it's well worth trying. The seeds are quite edible. In the Philippines, the seeds are valued and boiled or roasted, and kind of tastes like a giant cashew nut. We grind them, the dried seeds, down into... I have celiac disease, so I have to be gluten-free, not part of the fad. So I make tortillas or flatbreads with the jackfruit seed flour. I don't know if your wife's chocolate cake would work with it or not, but we'll work. Yeah. Ohelo, this is something that Kim's working with, but before that, Francis Z was doing variety trials, where we first met, I think, was at a meeting, doing variety trials. I killed hundreds of these trees, probably close to 1,000 of these, well, shrubs, I should say, or bushes, or however you want to class them, but they just don't like lower elevations, and I'm only at 1,000 feet. So this just, we could not get these things to survive and fruit below 2,300, or I think. So it's just one of those, it's the only thing that's endemic here. And you've got all kinds of them now, right?
We have the three that Francis released.
Yeah.
And then we have the Jackfruit seed flower, which is the
Jackfruit. Yeah. But the only thing it's used for here is jelly. Ore, this is another one we're working with that I've got finally producing in Hawaii after 12 years, Davidsonian plum. It tastes like a natural umeboshi or Japanese pickled plum. I brought this, we have a chef fest every year at Four Seasons, and I've been honored to be one of the selected chefs. And I introduced this about 4 years ago there. And the other chefs, they weren't at their tables giving out samples because they were all playing with this, trying to talking about how they could use this and incorporate this into menus. I mean, our market is the resort chefs. People at grocery stores may or may not buy this type of thing, but the resort chefs always will. Well, my son was the chef at a hotel here for 20 years, and he has to buy it or I write him out of the will. But that's a... David... sour umeboshi, like a very sour, little natural salty plum there. So, see, we traditionally we think of fruit as something sweet, something that is in your in-room amenity basket, or it's on the buffet line. But if you start looking at these unusual fruit like bilimbi or ore as a savory, or something that can go either way, like tamarillo or tree tomato, you can make that sweet or savory, depending on how much sugar you want to add. But this is it's a very different flavor. I can see why they called it a plum, but it's not. And it's bigger than a golf ball. Those are in between a golf ball and tennis ball for size. Have you done anything with that, Robert? You will. Expect the publication in next year. Pulisan is something Tracy's going to pick for our conference this weekend. Thank you. Rambutan relative. You really got to get some of this. And rambut means hair in Malaysian. I was totally bald 2 weeks ago, and now it's starting to come back, you know, when it comes into season every year. You have nothing to worry about. So. Anyway, this is... just a great tasting fruit. It's kind of rubbery. Kids like to play with it, tease each other mercilessly. But something else to try, and it has great potential, especially for the east side of Hawaii where they have rain. In Kona, our wet season is drier than Hilo's dry season. So we have 11 microclimates, I think it is, and so there's a lot of differences that we have to contend with. This is another one that's just getting, this is probably the favorite fruit of Puerto Rico. And it's really quite good, quite refreshing. Spanish lime, is it? Because the other name? There's a couple of trees at the Botanic Garden on Kauai, National Tropic Botanic Garden. It's just slow growing, and we're working on it. But something else for the future here. Rollinia, there's a lot of Rollinia. In fact, in a project that we have for the State Department of Ag to produce and sell 10,000 trees at cost, which is roughly $20 as opposed to $65 to $85 in the big box stores for a little grafted citrus. Why it costs so much here when I can go into a home center in Japan and buy them for $7.50 is beyond me, or in the Philippines for $3, or in India or Brazil for 75 cents for a grafted citrus tree. But we're selling them for 20, and we've gone through, we have to do 10,000 trees, and we've gone through 7,000 in 2 years of a three-year project. So we're getting there. This is one that's become quite popular. The problem is you never see it in the stores because the growers that have it like it so much they eat it. So it's relative to cherimoya. If you've had cherimoya before, it's like lemon, vanilla pudding, or vanilla pudding. This is like lemon caramel custard pudding. It has, and cherimoya is, atomoya, sugar apple. They have these sugar apple, custard apple, sweet sop, sour sop. They're all in the same family. This sign sometimes called the snot apple when it gets overripe, hence the mucosa name. But it's really a delicious fruit. Soursop's the other one. We get more demand now for the leaves since somebody posted on Facebook that the leaves will cure cancer and everything else that ails you. Yeah, any fresh fruit is going to be good. But we couldn't sell them 10, 15 years ago, and now we can't get enough of them. The fruit. It's a favorite in health food stores. You can't walk into a Mexican restaurant in Mexico without being able to get guanabana drink or juice. You can buy it canned here, but it's not the same. But now the chefs have discovered it, and so it's gaining in popularity. Oh, here you go, John. Suriname cherry, the red ones especially are an acquired taste. The black ones we've been working with for how many years already? 15? Okay. Just a very unique tasting fruit. One of my culinary students, well, they made a red curry, but they also made frozen Suriname cherry ice cubes. And I asked, why'd you leave the room at the top of the glass? It's so you can add sake and make the rising sun cocktail. So, which is quite good, by the way. We can add gin, too, later. Okay. Tropical apricots, another very prolific fruit, natural occurring hybrid from Florida. Sour, but the versatility for chefs is endless. The juice, some people like to eat that kind of sour fruit on its own. I've been working with this. I'm on the sixth generation, I think, of trying to breed one that's not quite as sour as the original ones I had. And so we're getting closer. You can definitely tell the difference between the parent and the offsprings. So we, something else that's coming up. Ume plum, there's five types of Prunus mume. This is the only one that'll grow in Hawaii. Is the chuo or mid-sized one originally from southern China. It's very prolific. We were growing them just for the plums, and now everybody wants it for the rootstock because we can put the tropical peaches that are shipped here from Florida are on NemaGuard rootstock, which require 1,400 chill units. This will grow at sea level here in Hawaii with no problems and produce fruit. So they use this for as a rootstock for some of the tropic snow and other peaches that only require 40 chill units, and it's been working quite well for that. So something else, and we still have a giant demand for the fruit. The dish is from the Four Seasons, where they use it a lot. So they'll pretty much take anything we can produce. Wampi, it's a citrus cousin that is, it's really quite nice. The skins are pretty bitter, but inside it's kind of it's a citrusy thing. It's good to bring in pollinators when it's flowering. Originally from southern China as well. Where they have a lot of varieties, and the varieties are all named after Tai Chi movements. This is stroking the wild horse's mane Wampi fruit. I don't know. I mean, I think that's, we were going A to Z. Water apple. This was a relative of the other syzygiums, Malayensis and Samarkensis, or Malay apple, wax apple, wax jambu. These are smaller, kind of sweet tart. They're given to women after childbirth in Malaysia because it helps the build up the electrolytes. And so you can have a bottle of Gatorade or a couple of water apples, and the difference is amazing. These are very very nice. They all go to restaurants and grocery stores now that we've got enough of them, and they're starting to get out wider than just our island. So we're sending them to Honolulu now. And I was trying to do this as A to Z, and I needed an X fruit, so I took a little poetic license. So, siwa in Chinese, suika in Japanese, and watermelon. But if you had asked me 5 years ago if there was a melon I could get someplace that was better than Japan, I would have said you were nuts. And then I started eating watermelon from Molokai when I taught there for 8 weeks, and it was incredibly sweet, incredibly good. And so now it's something that Molokai can export around the state. And we're you know, it's the import substitution of what we do. And it still amazes me that a melon grown here is as good as some of the melons I've had in Asia. Why is, yuzu, I'm really looking forward to your talk on I Ching. There's one kalpi, which is, I call the Philippine yuzu, which is the same I Ching parent. It's extremely popular. We can't seem to get enough of them to keep the chefs happy. A lot of the Japanese citrus, besides yuzu, is suidachi, kabosu, hebisu, shikwasa, which is a little bigger than a kumquat, but very popular as an Okinawan citrus. You know the seven spice mix that they give you in Japanese restaurants to put on your udon or on top of teriyaki or something? There are seven spices. One of the spices they call chimpei, which is dried citrus peel, and that's the only one that's different in different parts of Japan. So shikwasa is used in the south, and yuzu is used up in Tokyo and the north, and then mikan is kind of used, or tangerine is used in the middle. But they make as much use of the peel as they do the fruit. You can go into any grocery store, even the corner drugstore in Tokyo, and buy a jar of dried yuzu powder. And Zisyphus or jujube, something we're having a trouble growing here. It seems to require a more California climate, you know, we're a Mediterranean climate, I should say. But there are a few trees here, like the one on the right, tastes like a green apple, and then it gets dark and kind of dries up, and it tastes like a date. But it's quite good if you've never tried it. Easier to find in California. And I guess that's it. I don't know where we are on time, but... Okay.
You got...
Yeah.
Have you tried Aki?
Yeah, we have Aki here.
I came in
on Aki. Oh, no, I didn't put Aki on here. The problem with Aki is it's got a limited market, and there's, you know, the question of toxicity when it's unripe.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually we have, I can't say hippies because my Facebook test said I was 80% hippie, but every year there's a certain number of people lined up in the hospital at Kona for eating Aki, for eating kikui nuts, because it's a laxative, considerably powerful laxative. And there's always, and they eat the autograph tree fruit, which they think are mango seed, because it's about the same size as the people that are the same. And
it's kind of the boo-boo fruit. To me, Aki is Well, isn't Noah talking? Noah Lincoln? No, this is
Oh, is Noah here? No. Anyway, yeah, I mean, breadfruit, since it was brought by Captain Bly. Anyway, it's a Artocarpus that's a growing resurgence. I tend to stay out of breadfruit because Diane Ragone does such an amazing job, and now with Noah Lincoln and people developing a breadfruit or ulu.
They harvested 20,000 pounds last month of breadfruit. If you haven't tried breadfruit, it can be a bread substitute or potato substitute. Or actually, I like to make a dough with the very ripe breadfruit, and you can bake that with a pot or something inside that puffs up like puff pastry. So it's amazingly versatile. So are most of the artocarpus. Everything is edible except the skin and the core. And at any stage of development, edible and utilized in their respective native environments. It makes it from Borneo to South Asia. And is that true with the
Yeah, Mysore Raspberries, we did a project at Old Fry's called the 12 Trees Project, where 57 chefs on this pot, I had picked 12 trees that they wanted to grow by seasonality. Mysore Raspberry, or local raspberry, was the top choice. It's also on the noxious weed list, so except for this island, because a number of growers reported to the USDA on the farm survey that they had the economic benefit from growing it, so we can still plant it here, where they can't plant it on any other island. And the chefs still will buy that when I have to switch, yeah, take this one off and put on a chef hat next first week of October. And I just ordered my survey yesterday. So it's yeah. Is that one of the way of thimble berries too here? Which would be a pest everywhere, I guess. But I don't see it's invasive because I gotta watch myself. Just shut me up.
Sorry, if I get very well edited, I don't have to.
It's considered invasive because the grants run out and they don't take it out of the ground. So it's run rampant all over certain parts of South Florida because the grants ended and nobody took it out of the ground. And the people, the one guy who was over there retired 10 to 15 years ago, he drove to get samples in Volcano where it comes up all over the place. Right? I said, why did you drive over there? Why don't you look out the window and see the white cane sticking up over there? Well, they never took it out of the ground, she didn't realize. So it was invasive. But I've heard it's out of Kona, and it doesn't send up shoots all over the place like other raspberries. It just grows from tip bank. So I'd have to put a rock on the tip of the cane, and then pretty soon it would send up another one, so it would kind of form a natural trellis like that. And I still couldn't get enough. So the growers here kind of trellis them, keep them pruning heavily, and they get a lot of fruit, and it's 12.95 pound wholesale for the for raspberry, so that's why they got an economic benefit.
Any other questions? Okay. Shall we move on to thank you very